And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan Burns of GopherDigest.com. And welcome to episode 3 of Gopher Gridiron Radio.
Ryan, I know you know this is a special, this position group or this part of the game has a special place in my heart being a high school kicker. So I am very excited to talk about special teams.
Oh, this is going to be glorious. This is for all you diehards who come to different goal line club events, and you ask me about who is the back of walk-on kicker and what's he like. This podcast is for you, so stay tuned.
Yeah, okay. So, Ryan, let's talk just a tiny bit to start. I want to start with the punter because he tends, you know, he's probably gotten the most accolades on the team. He tends to be a figurehead in social media.
Yes,
right?
He's
pretty well known for that. He tends to like to take pictures of himself lifting heavy objects.
He's a character. He's one of the funniest guys on the team, that's for sure.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about Pete Mortel. Coming back, he'll be a senior now.
Yep.
Traditionally a walk-on from Green Bay. You know, the one slight to him, if you're a Vikings fan, right? He's probably a Packer fan, being from Green Bay.
He's definitely a Packer fan, and he's not afraid to let you know it. Yeah, you know, Peter Mortel, first team All Big Ten punter. I mean, it's such a night and day difference between Jerry Kill special teams and Brewster's and Mason's, and you know, it's such a nice thing to see. You know, Mortel started his career from, you know, being in the Green Bay area,
right,
as a walk-on, and
right,
he's earned his scholarship, and now he's, you know, pretty much living the dream. He's a first-team All-Big Ten punter going into his senior year. So it's just, you know, you can't ask for more coming back, especially from a guy like Pete Mortel. Probably a little bit more hang time on his punts, but, you know, his net punt is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, the one knock on him that I say is, you know, I don't think Pete will be an NFL guy.
Right.
You know, as much as Gopher fans may think he may be, I just don't think he has the leg strength.
Mm-hmm.
As once you do get to the NFL, it's basically how strong is your leg, because we can teach everything else. So, you know, where Pete excels is, you know, different corner kicks, different, you know, pin the guy inside the 20, you know, different facets of the game like that. So I think Minnesota's just going to be doing just fine, you know, for punting this fall. You know, you can't ask for more with a Big Ten, you know, first-team punter coming back.
Right. So when we talk about punting, obviously, like you're alluding to, in the NFL, they want the big leg because they want the hang time because, you know, they traditionally have much better athletes. In college and even in high school, it's very much positional, right? It's we're going to kick it to a specific area,
right,
and we're going to corner a person there. And like you said, that's something that Pete excels in. One thing he also excels in is making the ball stop, which is definitely a technique thing, right? Where you're trying to get the ball to try and stop or bounce super high. And he's been
absolutely.
And some of it, I didn't actually punt, but I did kick. But you know, being around punters and stuff, it's something they work on.
Absolutely,
don't. And it's extremely difficult.
It is. And, you know, the guy who deserves so much credit for this special teams that I'm sure 90% of the fans here have never heard of, his name's Jay Nunez. Jay Nunez is the special teams coach who is not going to have the special teams title, which Jay Sobel has. You know, Coach Kill plays a huge part on special teams. He taught Nunez a bunch of what he knows now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to credit one guy for working his tail off behind the scenes, it's Coach Jay Nunez. I encourage you to, you know, look him up on the website. He's done a phenomenal job. But, you know, like you were saying, I mean, it's a huge just technique thing, from the way you drop the ball, from the way, you know, your leg swing is, to all the different facets of what go into the punting game, you know, which fans probably don't account to on, you know, most occasions. But, you know, Nunez has done a very good job of teaching Mortel. Mortel's been, you know, he's, you know, acclimated to what, you know, Nunez has been preaching for him for 3 years, and I think it showed very well.
Right.
You know, he was very good at, like you said, you know, the ball. How many times did you see the ball would bounce at, you know, the 40 and get all the way down to the 15 somehow.
Right.
Or it would bounce at the 3 yard line, go straight up in the air and die at the 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's technique things. Some of it's a little bit of luck, I think.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, but I mean, there is, you know, a technique that goes into it. And I think the Gopher staff has done a great job with Martell and teaching him that.
All right. So obviously everybody's familiar with Santoso and how big his leg is with kickoffs. I think one thing that people are forgetting is he came in as both a punter and a kicker, and he's a guy that we can probably look to as a very reliable backup and probably the future of punting.
He's definitely going to play a part. You know, I it's weird to me. You know, I had this conversation with somebody a week ago, and I was already talking about who's going to be the punter next year. I mean, that's how diehard we are here. So, I mean, you know, Santoso did get some punts in this past spring, and I think, you know, even everybody in the Gopher staff would say Santoso has a bigger leg than Martell, and it's not close.
Right.
It's just so interesting to me to, you know, speculate about what 2016 will be at punter. Will it be Santoso? I think the staff would have no problem with that. You know, are they looking into potentially bringing in a scholarship kid for this 2015 class? You know, or 2016 class, excuse me.
Sure.
It's a definite possibility. You know, they have, you know, three or four guys they really like. You know, they're still deciding on what, you know, the future holds. I think that if the staff chooses to go internal with the punting job for next year, I think Santoso would be, you know, he has such a big leg that it's hard to, you know, see him not, you know, at least getting a shot.
Right.
Even if they do bring in, you know, a freshman punter. I mean, how many teams want to play a freshman punter in the Big Ten?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure, especially for a kid, you know, 5 months ago, he was, you know, still in high school. So if the staff decides to go internal, I think it's Ryan Santoso. I saw him his leg is incredible for a kid his size and a kid of his. I think that he could, you know, have a playing day past, you know, college if he continues to develop, maybe as a punter, maybe as a kicker. But if they do go internally, I think Ryan Santoso is your guy to be your 2016 punter.
Sure. So let's stick with Santoso and let's transfer to the kicking game. Obviously, redshirted his first year on campus. Also made a significant life change and lost, you know, quite a bit of weight. Right.
Came absolutely
in, is a lot bigger dude.
Yeah.
And he's made that big life change. Additionally, he contributed mightily as a freshman, whether it be kickoffs where he, you know, he pounded a lot of teams back or a lot of kicks back through the end zone. Also, I don't think it was something that was talked about significantly. They definitely plan to leave a lot of balls at the 3 and pop them way up in the air, you know, and utilize leg. That was very much a schematic.
It was
schematically executed or, you know, it was a game plan thing, not schematically executed. So, obviously, I think Santoso, being the incumbent, will come back in and contribute. So, and we all know, you know, made the game-winning field goal against Purdue. You know, he had his moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had his moments. So let's maybe not focus so much on him because we kind of know what we're getting, and we know we probably expect him to improve his field goal percentage. You know, through this season. I don't remember exactly what he was, and I haven't even looked it up. I'll look it up while you talk a little bit about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the one thing he needs to improve on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll briefly touch on Santoso here. You know, his percentage wasn't great as a true freshman, but, I mean, he showed that he has the potential to really, you know, if he continues to harness his accuracy, as again in the spring, you know, it was a little bit wishy-washy, as sometimes he'd hit the 58-yard field goal with 10 yards to spare perfectly. And then sometimes on, like, the 42-yarder, you know, he'd hit it 40 yards left.
Right. And you know, he was 12 of 18 last season.
Yeah, so,
on,
I mean,
on field goals and 45 of 46 on extra points.
So, I mean, obviously that's not horrific in the least bit. And so, you know, I think if he can clean that up to 14 of 18, so, I mean, just even making two more of those, you know, I mean, he missed a couple 40-yarders last year and in some of the Big Ten games. So I think he has the tools to really do well. But if you're looking for a guy that you probably haven't heard of so far that I think is going to take over the kickoff job from Santoso.
Really take it over?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything I've heard, you know, this past spring and summer is that, you know, walk-on freshman, redshirt freshman kicker Emmett Carpenter has a real chance to make a, you know, a big impression as a kicker coming in. You know, he redshirted this past year as the staff really wanted to work with him on his technique, on how, you know, he approaches the ball and make sure he gets, you know, some good habits. I mean, I even talked with a source who said he probably could have done kickoffs last year, but why throw a kid out there when you can preserve his red shirt and you have Ryan already out there doing a more than adequate job?
And kickers don't exactly take a lot of hits unless you're Ryan Santoso, you know, running up the middle on an or on a 2-point conversion that failed miserably.
Oh, man, I wish he would have just lowered his shoulder. But, you know, he's a kicker, and so what can you do?
Right,
but
even big kickers don't.
They're finesse players. You know that.
I know that. I personally have experience being a finesse player.
Yeah. So, you know, Emmett has a huge leg. I mean, there's been, I mean, I've heard multiple reports. He's kicked it out of, you know, over the baseball, not over the baseball field, but over onto the, you know, baseball side of the fence. I mean, that's 15 yards over the end zone, you know, from kickoff. So, I mean, he has the leg to do so. I mean, the staff is very happy with his technique, where he's at, you know. Because special teams, especially kicking and punting, is such a huge part of the mental game. How many I mean, obviously fans know, you know, icing the kicker and multiple fast sets like that. But, I mean, it's just you're alone on an island by yourself. Everyone's staring at you. I mean, he's got a year of redshirt under his belt. He's probably going to have some miss hits here and there off the kickoff. But, again, as Luke said, it's a schematic thing. I mean, you saw early in the year Santoso would have touchback after touchback, you know, towards the middle. You know, it was more of a schematic change. Santoso may have been in a little bit of a rut. But, again, you know, the staff may have saw that. They did tailor it to let's get him at the 3 in our kickoff coverage. You know, was good enough where we can pin him inside the 20. And, obviously, as a touchback to the 25, he gained field position. It's all about field position, especially with this offense struggling from time to time. So, I mean, you know, I had different fans last year, you know, come up to me or ask me, you know, why is Minnesota not, you know, is what's up with Santoso? What's going on? And I was like, you know, and I confirmed that this past offseason, you know, it was a schematic thing. They, you know, they trusted their kickoff coverage. Guys like Devin Wright, a senior last year, you know, he didn't contribute anywhere else but special teams.
But he was so good.
He was excelled, and he grasped the role, and he ran with it, and he just, you know, he did so well.
This may be a crazy statement.
Yes.
But, like, could he have caught on with an NFL team just because as a special teamer? Because, I mean, this is so nerdy of me. I love special teams, right?
Right.
And they're probably one of my favorite part of the game. But he was so phenomenal. This is a guy, like, you talk about a Damian Wilson that's going to be hard to replace. This is a guy that legitimately is going to be difficult to replace.
You know, it's funny to even, you know, talk about a guy. But how many times did she Devin Wright just flying down, that first guy down there somehow got there untouched and hit, you know, hit the kick returner at the 12-yard line for a huge change of possession.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think he probably could stick on because he has no other tape.
Right.
You know, defense or offense. But, you know, he's going to be tough to replace. And that's where, you know, some of these freshman defensive backs and, you know, sophomore defensive backs who aren't seeing a lot of time behind these seniors are going to have to try and replace him, and they're going to be expected to. So it's just – it's such a different change, again, from the Brewster and Mason years of special teams sometimes being lacking in spots. And it's just a nice change to see. So I think that if Santoso does relinquish, you know, the kickoff job, it's going to be to Emmett Carpenter. Because I've heard a lot of good things. I've heard he's a huge leg. So for all of you people who want to know who's going to be that walk-on that contributes in the special teams game, I think you're going to see Peter Mortel at punter. You're going to see Ryan Santoso kicking. And I would be surprised if Emmett Carpenter isn't the guy kicking off on TCU.
Okay, so obviously when you kick and when you punt, there's another vital position, which is the long snapper. Very unheralded. You know, not a lot of guys get a lot of credit unless you're somebody like Mike Morris, right?
Right.
And you and you end up on the radio.
Mike Morris.
Right.
Yeah,
so let's talk about what we have at long snapper. I have no idea. This is all you, man.
You know, again, for these diehards still listening 14 minutes in to a special teams podcast, kudos to you. But, you know, it's very up in the air at long snap right now. You know, Minnesota lost, you know, their starting long snapper. Yeah, and he, you know, chose to take a job this summer. I'm not sure if that's, you know, still the case, but I think it may be, as Minnesota brought in a long snapper last week on an official visit. His name was Blaine Blaine Siders. He's originally from Delafield, Wisconsin. He played his ball at Middle Tennessee State and was a graduate transfer. You know, Minnesota wanted to get him on for a year as they, you know, have some young guys developing. So, you know, he chose, you know, early last week to, you know, retire the cleats. So it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota, you know, does it long snapper. You have a guy from Perham, Minnesota, and Peyton Jordahl. And you have he was in on some of the special teams plays. He was snapping in some capacity. And then a true freshman coming in, Trey Hansen, a kid who was originally from the Twin Cities, transferred down to Iowa. So between Trey Hansen and, you know, Peyton Jordahl, it's going to be a battle in camp. You know, Minnesota doesn't have a long snapper on scholarship at this point. So the way I understand it from the people I've talked to is that if and when one of these guys emerges from the long snapper battle, they will probably earn that scholarship. And they're both young guys. So, I mean, the long snapping at a Big Ten school for 3 years under scholarship isn't a bad deal, certainly.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so kicking, punting aside, those have to be returned, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so let's skip over to there. Obviously, Gopher fans will remember Marcus Jones. He was probably the most, I'm not going to say consistent, but one of the more consistent guys that was back there,
right,
on, back returning kicks and returning punts. He's gone. Returning for punt, let's start with punts, right? Returning punter, Craig James, you know, returned 16 punts, 8.7 yard average, but man, if he wasn't close to breaking a couple, as we talked about,
right,
before we started recording.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Craig was close 2-3 times to, if he would have one more block, or, you know, he shook that last guy, he would have taken it to the house. And as a true freshman, that's quite the statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking for a couple guys who are going to be your punt returners, I think you have to start with Craig. You know, he mm-hmm. really took that job over from Marcus, you know, even with Marcus as a senior. So I think you can expect Craig for the next 3 years probably to be the punt returner in Minnesota, and I'd be shocked if he didn't bring one back this next year. I mean, he's so elusive. He has the speed to do so. Behind Craig, you know, if Craig were to get injured in some capacity or have some issues muffling the ball, I'd say two guys who come to mind are KJ May, actually three, KJ May, Berkeley Edwards, or Brian Vade Calhoun. All three of those guys took reps during spring ball at punt returner. I'd say KJ was probably the next guy up. He's a sure-handed guy. He's not going to beat you with his speed if he's in the open field, but, you know, he's very elusive for a guy his size. Berkeley's the guy that if you want the speed and you want the one cut and you set up the return perfectly, you know, mm-hmm. say it's return right, and, you know, you have the blocks there, Berkeley can go 0 to 60 pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can get up to top speed, you know, nobody's going to catch him. And the last guy, obviously, I mean, I don't think many fans know this, but, you know, Vade Calhoun, coming out of Coffeyville Community College, he brought, I think, two or three punt returns back during his, you know, freshman year there.
Okay.
So, you know, he took snaps there, and during the bowl game, I've heard that, you know, Minnesota was having some issues with some muffled punts, and so, you know, if there would have been one more punt, Vade would have been back there. I think fans would have been a little bit surprised by that, but, you know, he's sure-handed, he's got the speed, he's elusive, so... Again, I don't expect Craig to really have anybody take the job from him.
Right.
You know, he has the tape to where, he's sure-handed, you know he can break it. So, but you have guys behind him in KJ, Berkeley, and Bree, and even to an extent that, you know, I mean, there's depth there.
Yeah. Okay, let's transfer over to kick returns. Obviously, on kick returns, everybody's going to think back to the Northwestern game and Myrick returning that 100-yard kick to the house. Obviously, he was featured alongside Marcus Jones primarily. You know, he had 18 kick returns for an average of 28.2. But, you know, I got to imagine that he's going to be one of the featured guys back there. You know, we talked in the defensive podcast about other freshmen coming
right.
in.
Yep.
Could possibly contribute in this area. So why don't we talk about a little bit about Myrick and then about who potentially could be alongside him?
Yeah, it's another position. I wouldn't call it a position battle, but it'll just be interesting to see how Minnesota goes with it this fall. I mean, you have Jalen okay. Myrick, you have a guy with legit speed, a guy who, again, won the game basically at Northwestern with his speed. I mean, beside him, you've had Antonio Johnson for a couple of years now. Does he become more phased out as he takes on a more prominent sure. role in the secondary? You have a guy like Berkeley Edwards. I mean, can you imagine a speed combo of Berkeley and Jalen back there? Two guys who have speed freaks, and all they need right. is a seam, and they're gone.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Or do you have a guy like Keontae Harden? Maybe he is the guy who comes in and replaces Antonio if the staff decides they don't want to go that direction. Again, another guy who's a track champion, a guy with legit speed, a guy who's probably one of the top five speed guys on the team as a true freshman. So maybe Keontae plays in that capacity. Again, there's just so many different ways. You have Berkeley potentially, Berkeley, KJ maybe, to pair alongside of Jalen. I just think that it's just going to be – it's going to be either Antonio Johnson, but I just have hesitation as he's going to be your starting safety in a full-time capacity, not splitting time with right. guys like Brock Vereen, Cedric Thompson, Derek Wells. He's your guy now. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you risk him on kick return, even though he's a very good lead blocker? And do you give that to a guy like Berkeley Edwards or Keontae Harden, who may not have such a prominent role at this time in Gopher football history? So do you relinquish that role from Antonio and give it to a guy like that? It'll be interesting to see and interesting to follow throughout fall camp and throughout the season, really, as the staff decides what they want to do. But I think, you can lock in Jalen there, but alongside of him, I'm very curious to see how things play out.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about punt coverage because, last year they obviously had a big block punt that Hutton caught and returned. I'm blanking on the game. I want to say it was the Iowa game, but I'm blanking on which game he blocked that. I'll try to look it up here. But I feel like once a year they get a blocked punt, and for the most part they've been, because Mortel's putting them in a good position, mm-hmm. they're pretty good at pinning teams deep.
Yeah, two punt blocks, and I'm trying to reach the depths of my brain here, but I remember we blocked one against Eastern Illinois for a touchdown. Logan Hutton caught that one in the open end zone there.
I couldn't even find it. You remembered in your brain.
and then against Iowa, I believe Murray blocked one that went out of bounds for only right. like a 15-yard kick. And then the next play, play action to Donovan Jones deep, touchdown, and things really got rolling. So, the staff has a lot of confidence in their edge rushers.
Right.
And by edge rushers in the punt scheme, I mean, the defensive backs. I mean, mm-hmm. guys like Eric Murray. Guys like Duke McGee, Logan Hutton, these speed guys who they know what their lane is to the corner, to the quarterback, to the punter. I cannot believe I just put quarterback and a punter. And Peter Martell would be so proud of me.
He'd be so proud right now.
So, Minnesota's very, happy with their guys coming off the edge to block these kicks. They think they know that they have the speed to do so.
Right.
So I think, they're trusting in their guys to not run into the punter as much. There's a time or two where I get a little bit hesitant watching, on punt coverage where you see, Craig calling for a fair catch and the ball bounces, 5, 10 yards behind him and there's a gopher block in there and it always almost hits him.
Yeah.
And I get very nervous because all it takes is one weird bounce hits, Demaryius Travis in the back. Iowa guy takes it for a touchdown and gopher fans are face palming. So, for the most part, like you said, they're very comfortable with where they're at with their speed guys rushing the punter, rushing the field goal kicker. I'd be very surprised if Minnesota doesn't block a field goal or two with these guys coming off the edge, especially if you have guys like Murray and Boddy. I've seen them block numerous kicks in practice, especially coming off the edge. I mean, they teach the technique. I'd say a third of special team practices in the spring at least are devoted to special teams, devoted to things just like this. I've seen 10 minutes of practice, and albeit there's only 2 hours of practice, but that's still a significant amount of time, that Kill and his staff are devoting and to just, blocking these kicks as they know how crucial special teams plays in a game where, if one possession matters and say you have that edge in special teams, that's going to win you a ball game.
Yeah, so that was something I was going to bring up. Obviously, this is something that they focus on being special teams like you're talking about where they spend time during practice devoting special amounts of time. And this is something that's been written about frequently in the papers or on, Gopher right. Digest yep. or any of these pay-for sites, right? But also one thing that I've noticed and maybe isn't traditional in a lot of Division I programs, but I've noticed with Kill, and other than maybe Virginia Tech, is they play a lot of starters on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious thing here. I mean, you have to even earn your job on special teams.
Right.
Where at, you know, other colleges, it may not be that way. That's why you see guys like Demarius and Eric Murray playing huge snaps, mm-hmm. even though they're prominent players on a Gopher defense. It's just not a responsibility that's, you know, oh man, I'm on special teams. You know, it's an earned right. You have mm-hmm. guys like, you know, even Grayson Levine. I mean, a guy that played early in his career, but, you know, towards the back end because he was stuck behind some, you know, NFL guys, you know, was forced to play special teams, but he loved the role.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he accepted the role and he ran with it and he excelled.
Right.
And I mean, that's why even these, you know, young defensive backs and young wide receivers, they have to, you know, learn that playing on special teams isn't, you know, a penalty. It should be celebrated as you're getting on the field, contributing to this team, contributing to help them win. And it's really just something that the staff looks upon and makes a point to say, it's not a penalty that you're on special teams. It should be, you know, it's a job. It's an honor to do, and you have to run with it if you want to get a role on offense or defense going forward.
All right, so to close out this episode, I want to give kudos to Tommy Olsen for his very impressive fair catching abilities.
Yeah.
His occasional
Rumble, stumble, pumble
shirt. Yep. You know, the occasional catch and run.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that immensely.
He's just going to be so tough to replace. I think we could devote another 25 minutes of this podcast to how are we going to replace Tommy Olsen on kick return.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the fat guys love, as a former fat guy.
Okay.
And as someone who always would dream of the day he touched the ball until he got skinny, you know, it's always a dream of these guys like Tommy Olsen and, you know, different interior, you know, offensive linemen to catch the ball, go 5 yards and fall over. That makes their game.
Right.
Makes their career. They can go to their kids 10 yard, you know, 20 years from now and say, you know, Daddy, what did you do? You know, in college football, you know, I carry the ball a little bit. And he could say that, you know, people make fun of it, you know, he did. So I think, you know, as much as we make fun of, you know, the big guys on special teams who just get crushed and crush people, you know, running full speed at them, it's a huge job. It's integral, you know, to this, you know, kickoff return success, and they played a huge role in that Jalen Myrick, you know, 100-yard Northwestern game-winning touchdown. So, you know, it's fun to talk about special teams, and, you know, for the, you know, diehards who wanted your information, here you go. You got 27 minutes of glorious special teams info that no one else has, because I can guarantee you some people, you know, don't care enough. But if you, again, you got the scoop. Emmett Carpenter is probably going to start. You know, Ryan Santoso could, you know, be the punter. You know, Minnesota brought in a guy in 2015 in Jacob Herbers. He turned down a scholarship from Buffalo to come walk on. I mean, that's a full scholarship the kid turns down
right.
to come play at Minnesota, come play for these special teams. Because you have a guy like Peter Martell, a walk-on turn first team Big Ten guy, a guy like Ryan Santoso, Under Armour All-American. I mean, even special teams guys see what Minnesota's doing here. They're turning down full-ride scholarships to walk on. It's unheard of.
Right.
So, I mean, either Santoso or Herbers, you know, or, you know, a freshman kid that Minnesota signs in 2016, a punter. You know, I expect Ryan to probably kick for the rest of his career if he doesn't transition to punter. And then, you know, Emmett Carpenter is probably going to be your kickoff guy. And then whatever Minnesota decides to do besides Craig James, a punt returner, Jalen Myrick, and whoever else, a kick returner. You know, you have a, you know, 30 minutes full of special teams news, and that's what you guys wanted. So,
yeah, so
here we go.
Let's thank people for sitting through 30 minutes of a special teams podcast. You're the few, and I hopefully you're the proud. So thanks for listening. We will the season gets closer and closer, Ryan, and practice is almost here, so we'll have a little bit more to chat about. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've previewed the offense. We previewed the defense. We just did special teams. So, you know, the plan for next week going forward, you know, Minnesota has two camps on the 18th and 19th, I believe, the next Saturday and Sunday, in the huge recruiting barbecue that'll be that night. So next week we'll probably preview, you know, what's going on in recruiting so far, who's coming to the barbecue, you know, what to expect at these, you know, camps coming forward. So, and then 2 weeks from then, fall camp. I mean, the season is almost here. We have one more month left. So, you know, another weekly podcast coming next week, and it's going to be exciting.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.